Hi, this is Dave, and it's been 3 years since we launched Galactic Netcasts. And over that time, some shows have come and gone, but the one thing that stayed the same is our commitment to you, the best listeners on the internet. And that's why we're asking for your help. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us build the best sci-fi, science, and geek culture-based podcast network in the galaxy. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Thank you for your support, and on with the show!
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye! Hear ye! I'm Dave Nelson, and on this 11th day of September 2014, I call to order this, the 23rd meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club and another Galactic Netcast. Let's commence with the roll call. Oh my God, I think he's here. Matt Stein, are you present?
Yeah, I'm here. I really wanted you to start playing techno with how like pumped up you got. And I just pictured smoke and
yes.
We all start dancing, and Brad takes his shirt off, and then champagne bottles, and then someone makes it rain.
Next time,
making it rain.
Next time, all that's going to happen, I promise.
Get a bunch of ones.
Okay, Matt, our guest last week answered this question in your place, but I kept the question for you to answer this week. Okay, here it is. In the world of sci-fi, who would you like to be your father? And please don't say Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, can it be an Arnold Schwarzenegger character?
Oh, no, it can't be an Arnold Schwarzenegger character either, no.
I read this before, and that was my big question. So I don't even know, like, a lot of other...
Give me any...
Let's go with Captain Picard.
Oh, good choice. Very good choice. I agree with that decision.
Thanks.
All right. Brad Ludwig, are you here? Brad,
did we lose?
He is, but no audio.
Oh.
I am here. President accounted for, and now you can actually hear me.
I was worried for a second. I'm like, what happened? All right, Brad.
It was Slimer. He snuck up and hit the mute button.
Okay, Brad, your question. After the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is dominating this year, what other obscure comic book title would you like to see made into a movie?
I think you broke them.
Yeah, the list is long. Wow.
Do we have the Jeopardy music for this?
I need the Jeopardy
music. Okay,
I want to
ask a qualifying question.
Okay.
And this sounds probably kind of dickish that I want to do that, but up to how many characters? Do we want to have it like up to 6 characters?
Yeah, let's do...
Like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, 6 is a very good number.
Okay. God, I could give you my top 3, but I don't think I can give you 1.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Top 10 by Alan Moore, which is a police procedural, but in a sort of parallel dimension where a lot of people have enhanced abilities of sorts. And you follow a police division that investigates these particular crimes.
Wait a second. Isn't there a TV show that's kind of like this that's coming out? Or that was supposed to come out or something? That sounds really familiar, that premise.
That's Powers that you're thinking of that's going to be on the PlayStation Network. Top 10 is really... It has a different feel than Powers. Powers is a lot grittier. Top 10 is somewhat whimsical and has occasional gritty tones.
Okay.
That's my number. That's 1 of 3. The second one is The Way of the Gun.
Well, I've heard of this.
And that's a supernatural, or I'm sorry, The Sixth Gun. And that's a kind of a period 1800s comic book where six guns were six shooters were created, and they have supernatural properties to them.
Awesome.
And it's kind of like Hellboy meets The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Okay.
It's a very interesting premise. That would be my number two. And my third pick would probably be, God, I'm going to go really gritty on this, 100 Bullets. And that's a DC Vertigo title where...
Oh, I've heard of this too.
Yeah, it's a secret organization of sorts that... Or it's an individual that finds people that are in trouble and need to take care of something, and he gives them a case, a gun with 100 bullets.
Mm-hmm.
and this was a long-running series. I don't think it's running anymore, but it was like each arc tells the story of a person that gets the gun and the bullets and what they do with this to solve their problem or have their problem solved. Really, really dark and gritty. But I think that would be a really interesting thing to see if done well.
That could almost be like a type of series, the word is escaping me, like Twilight Zone type of series.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You get a view, a glimpse into each person's life that has a serious issue that is given a gun with 100 bullets, completely untraceable. They can do whatever they want. So it's like a morality play. It's really, really kind of fascinating.
That would make a great. That would make a great show.
It would, yeah. And they've been talking about it, but nothing's really kind of formalized.
Okay, all right, and finally, Anessa. Are you here? Anessa Moyens. Sorry. I got all personal and casual there. Anessa Moyens, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, your question this week is, if you could name a planet, what would you call it?
House and Pfeffer? Sorry. This is the first thing that popped in my head was House and Pfeffer, and in the voice of Yosemite Sam.
Oh, not Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated from Laverne and Shirley?
No, not Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated from Laverne and Shirley. Anyway, no, because for some reason I associate Haas and Pfeffer with Yosemite Sam because he's a chef in one particular cartoon for this king, and the king's like, I want some Haas and Pfeffer, and Yosemite Sam's just like, Haas and Pfeffer, so... It's just the way he says it, and I just want to be able to say it. If I'm going to a planet and it's called Haas and Pfeffer, I want to say it in the style of Yosemite Sam.
That's a great answer. Really good answer. I like that.
Haas and Pfeffer!
Well, maybe...
Haas and Pfeffer!
Maybe, Anessa, your dream will come true someday, because they're discovering planets all the time, so you may have a chance to actually name a planet.
Here's hoping.
Wasn't there a thing where you could? Wasn't there a thing where you could submit a name and get a planet named after for that name that you submit?
I think so. There's been different things, contests with naming things, but it's mainly like an informal name. It still goes by whatever KB0T.
Okay.
Blah blah blah.
AKA.
It's a classification, yeah. But it would be because I know a lot of scientists, especially when researching. Like certain planets and stuff, they'll kind of give them their own like nickname, but whenever they publish the paper, it's known as whatever the number, the designated number letter.
It's kind of like when they're making a movie, and if it's really like secretive movie, then you don't want to, you know, they always use a code name or they call, and I believe they do it for almost every single movie. Like it's got a working title and then it's got an actual title.
Yeah, so it's something similar, except it's not so much a secret as who the hell wants to say, like, Kepler B07855 when you just call it Jimmy.
Yeah.
Niner.
Yeah. I still say they got to start actually giving these real names because it's so boring. Those designations they give them are so boring.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of a way to keep things organized. I'm sure there's a system with which telescope discovered it, the date, the time, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, otherwise you're going to end up with a few hundred scientists naming these planets, and you're potentially going to have names overlap. So if you're talking about Planet Hank, there might be, like, two other Planet Hanks, for all we know.
Well, at least, okay, if you're going to give it, like, a number and a letter designation, at least go with the LV from the alien universe. That would be awesome.
Dude, if I had the ability to name a planet, I would name it Stein's World, but you'd have to say it like this. Stein's World! Just like that. What do you think, Matt?
What the hell did you just do?
He did the devil horns.
Well, I don't know where that came from. I'm over here just minding my own business, and Brad's, I'm going to name a planet Stein's World!
That's Brad trying to be cool, trying to get to your level, trying to talk at your level.
But you're not hip. Trying to talk to the kids.
Yeah. All right. All right. There you go. That's a roll call. Let's get on with things.
I dig the name.
Let's read the minutes from last meeting. Brad, what did we talk about during the last episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that. We started out, let's start this out with our guest geek, was Daryl Johnston, the UK gnome, and he is a longtime listener and, former lurker of the Galactic Netcast shows. And we actually forwent? How does that even work? He didn't do a story. We talked about Doctor Who. So it's a good thing Matt wasn't here, because he would have been vomiting everywhere.
Yeah, it was a good week for you not to be here. That's for sure. Wait.
Is that what you're going to do when you don't want me here? You just, oh, we got people coming to talk about Doctor Who for an hour.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Doctor Who, jackass. Don't show up.
Guys, you know, sometimes I don't want to hang out with you guys because you say mean things and hurtful words like jackass.
Oh, I say that with
hey,
love, buddy.
Don't group the rest of us in with him.
Yeah, that freaking guy. He sucks. No. Personal question before I continue, just to kind of make Matt feel better. How'd that nut brown ale taste? Was that pretty good?
So I went from Wausau to Minneapolis, and I think it lasted about 20 minutes once I got out of my car.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys had a real an IRL meeting, right?
Yes,
we did. We had lunch together, and
there are pictures.
He gave Matt beer, and gave me the villain,
I got
a hug.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Absolutely.
Did your expectations live up to reality? Like, was Matt as short or as tall as you thought he was, or and vice versa?
We didn't go on a date, Dave.
Yeah.
I expected to be the shortest one there, and I was right.
Yeah.
That was the extent of my expectations. I mean, I've seen Matt enough on camera to know what to expect when I see him in person, so.
I expected Brad to be beautiful, and he was angelic.
Wow, you were drunk,
like,
weren't you?
Like, huggable?
Yeah, I could squeeze him all day.
Exactly.
Okay, break it up, you two.
This is kind of getting awkward and slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, Brad, I have an idea. Yeah, let's move on.
No, it's very funny. Even though Matt is much younger than me, I know I'm incredibly immature, and Matt and I actually get along really well. So it's kind of nice to actually meet Matt in person, and I think that we genuinely clicked as friends. So that was kind of cool.
Awesome.
You sound like a woman right now.
Okay.
Shut up! Don't make fun of me! I hate you now, Matt! I hate you!
You got so sentimental, I had to do it.
Okay, so what Brad talked about last week, what Brad brought to the table last week,
yes,
DARPA tried to build Skynet in the 1980s.
Well, you're taking my job from me now. What's that all about? Yeah, so we talked a little bit about DARPA trying to... military likes to do things to obviously increase our superiority in the regards of war, but also it has a side or they try to side benefit of increasing America's sellability in the world of electronics, and that's one of the things that it really did. It gave us a good footing with the Japanese while trying to build a self-aware Skynet, essentially, having computers control military vehicles and whatnot. It didn't really pan out, but economically it boosted us in the theater of the electronics world. Dave brought to the table the Ridley Scott updates fans about both Blade Runner and Prometheus sequels. So he basically gave a little rundown of how he's trying to make things happen in both of those.
And he also mentioned The Martian in that interview as well.
Yes, he did. And we know that Deckard is back. Anessa brought to the table Time Lord porn. Yes, there is Doctor Who porn video. And Matthew, you could probably go snap it up right now because I know you want to. That was my joke.
Watch a little Doctor Who.
Just because it's not.
Doctor Whore.
The girl they got to play Martha is amazingly. She looked amazingly like the real Martha, I have to say.
Well, not just Martha, but the chick that they got to play Rose looks a lot like Rose, too.
Yeah, you're right.
They did a really great job casting the chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And, so there you go. And lots of nods to the show in that regard. But anyways, and like I said, when it was Daryl's turn to talk, we just really went to town on Doctor Who, and we got the UK perspective of Doctor Who. For as much as we know in America, they've lived with Doctor Who for 50-plus years now. So getting that that perspective was really cool, and we were glad to have Daryl on the show.
And it's funny how I mentioned the fact that – I think I mentioned that Clara might be off the show, and what's-his-face, the showrunner, might be leaving. He's like, oh – no, that's nonsense or whatever he said.
Moffat.
Yeah, Stephen Moffat. It's like, that's like a crazy news story for us, but he's like, nah, it's not going to happen. It's like he had some kind of weird, like, British insight. It was cool. All right. Let's move on to new business. New business. Matt, welcome back to the show. What do you got for us this week?
IO9 released the 12 worst cyborg movies of all time.
I can't wait for this.
I was a little upset because I hadn't seen any of these, but now I have 12 new movies to see. I thought it was funny because before the zombie craze starts again, you know, here's some really bad movies you should go see. Number one on the list is Cyborg 2. Apparently the original Cyborg movie starred Jean-Claude Van Damme and was amazing by traditional standards. And then they released Cyborg 2 starring Angelina Jolie.
I'm guessing this is before her career break, like before she was really popular.
In the 1980s, it doesn't have years. I didn't realize that, but it was her first starring role. So I think Hackers came out in the early 90s, and that would have been one of her early roles, so this is going to be before that. But
wow. Yeah, this is her first film.
Holy crap, okay.
I don't know if it's her first film or her first, major role. Either way, neither here nor there. But she got sick the first time she actually watched it. Now, does that mean it was that bad that she got sick, or she realized it was a disgusting movie? Who really knows? But this movie apparently has absolutely nothing to do with Cyborg 1. Like, nothing. So, I don't know. I don't even know how you can make a movie that is number 2 if it does not pertain to number 1 at all. So, I'm going to have to see Cyborg 1 and 2.
Oh, you can. And a good example of that is Troll and Troll 2. They have absolutely nothing to do with each other. In fact, there's no trolls in Troll 2 at all.
It's just weird, though, that they would make sequels that have nothing to nod back to the first one.
You have to realize that this was B-movie fare, so all rules, all bets are off. And this was made in 1993, so... Hackers was 98, 99?
Was it that late? Wow.
Okay.
She looks like the Cyborg 2 picture. She looks way different than in Hackers.
But... Angelina Jolie's first movie was...
Hackers was 95. I'm sorry.
Cyborg was her second movie. Her first movie was Looking to Get Out. And she was in that movie. She was credited as Angelina Jolie Voight. And I believe that's the only movie that she went by that name.
Huh. Yeah, either way, she's crazy now, kind of. But,
she's
moving on.
I think she's kind of calmed down after the whole breast cancer thing.
Yeah, she just got married to Brad Pitt. Their kids helped them design her wedding dress, and sounded like a great, great thing that they did there in London.
You guys apparently spend more time reading about Angelina Jolie than I do.
It just pops up on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't try. It just...
I don't actively go out and look for Angelina Jolie.
I do.
Up on Facebook.
I mean, no.
Shut up, Brad. Anyways, moving on. Number two on our list, Hands of Steel. Yeah, this is a 1986 Italian movie about a man who is 70% robot, 30% man. That is about the most meaningful part of the movie description I got.
That sounds like a movie that they would have on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yep. Apparently at some point in the movie it turns into an arm wrestling movie instead of a cyborg movie, too.
You know,
like cyborg meets over the top.
You know it's bad.
Way
it's,
less awesome.
You know it's bad when your original premise gets lost.
Yes. Yes. Number three, Cyborg Cop. That pretty much sums it up. I think it was meant to be a RoboCop ripoff, or they were trying to compete with RoboCop, and they fell pretty far short. Number four, Cyborg 2087, which is a 1966 kitsch quasi-classic that has some charm, according to this guy. It stars Michael Rennie, who is in The Day the Earth Stood Still. That's about... Yeah, I just love the guy who's like, yeah, you know, it's got this person, this really famous person, and that's all there really is to it.
That's what's going for it.
Yeah, you know, he thinks the writer apparently credits James Cameron's The Terminator with having inspired. So Cyborg 2087 inspired The Terminator.
Huh.
I don't really know if that's true or not, but
interesting.
It is. Number five, Cyborg 3, The Recycler. The only thing I got out of this was there's a famous guy in it. Can't think of what his name is. His picture's familiar.
Jack Palance. I just like saying Jack Palance.
You know, I wish that there was a channel, like either a channel on cable or like a internet channel that showed just bad, like, science fiction movies nonstop. That you just go there and something's playing.
Oh, go to Sci-Fi Channel. It's awesome. You should check it out sometime.
Every movie on Sci-Fi looks like it was filmed with like a handheld camera in someone's backyard.
And it probably was.
It probably was.
Well, they're working to change
that. What do you think I do all day?
Cyborg 3 has a guy named Kato Kaelin in it, apparently. His character's name was Decaf. So I wanted to make sure to get that.
I'm guessing this is after the O.J. Simpson thing.
1995.
Yep, after.
Yep. The rest of this list is a lot of the same. So number six is a movie called Knights. Doesn't have a year. Number seven, American Cyborg Steel Warrior. 1994 movie. A lot of mid-90s, a lot of 80s. Number eight is Cyborg Cop 2. Number nine is Cyborg Cop 3. Number 10, Cyborg Soldier. 11, Future War. And a number 12 named Eliminators. The only difference, Eliminators is the only one that involves a mad scientist who's trying to master time traveling.
Okay.
And he does. He makes a time traveling mandroid, which
man.
Is the upper half of a human torso on a weird-looking tank.
Anessa, this makes me really wish we were still doing the Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast, because I would definitely talk about that on that podcast.
You know, yeah, that's one of the things I see stories that would really work out well, especially this one for the Time Traveling Robots in Space. But at the same time, I kind of wish we were doing the sci-fi film school because we could totally watch some of these movies.
I know. I know. We should see how many of these are on Netflix and plan to...
Maybe we can do like a special or something once a month.
Yeah. Or once every 2 months.
Hold on, Brad.
Sorry.
All right.
I'm excited.
I know. We should totally do that.
Okay. Of these movies, let's go around the room. What is one that stands out that you'd like to see of these on this list?
You cut out really bad, so I only heard half what you said.
The one on this list that you would want to see most?
I think I really want to see Eliminators just based on the Mandroid that the guy creates.
Mandroid.
And the last sentence of the guy who wrote this is pretty awesome. He says, "I could try and describe the movie's faults for you, but I truly think the video is worth several thousand words in this matter." So it sounds like it's just probably 90 minutes of a really bad time.
All right. All right.
Wow.
Let's move on from that. Let's move away slowly from that story. And Brad is up next on the roster. Brad, what did you bring to the table this week?
Well, so last episode, we talked about DARPA and their failed attempt at Skynet. Now we can talk about DARPA and their desire to give us all Wolverine-esque healing factors.
Do we all have to be brooding and ride a motorcycle?
I'm totally down with riding a motorcycle. Just throwing that out there.
Can I not wear a shirt?
Yes, Matthew, you can totally not wear a shirt.
Gammon.
But you have to smoke a cigar.
I just assumed that we were smoking cigars.
Okay.
Riding motorcycles.
Wow. So here's what this is all about. And I found this at uprocks.com. Much of disease is simply how the body reacts to a foreign invader. So controlling that response while keeping the benefits is the focus of quite a bit of medical research. Among the ideas is neuromodulation, essentially manipulating nerves to reduce pain and help you heal faster. And DARPA wants to take it to the next level. So they want to inject you with a tiny machine or perhaps a group of nanobots, and it would go into your body and it would be activated whenever your brain would start to give off the sensation that it is receiving messages of pain, and it would go to that area, help reduce inflammation, and also reduce the sensation of pain. Essentially, what they're looking to do is essentially, it would be like something that would be actually added to your brain. It would be like an extra nerve ending or nerve endings that would control this machine or grouping of machines to make this happen. So it would be completely tied into the neurocircuitry of your brain.
I don't like that idea at all.
It's really kind of creepy. But DARPA being DARPA, we might actually get some, like we talked about the failure of the Skynet, quote-unquote Skynet project, we actually did gain some benefit out of that economically, and the U.S. kind of became more of a dominant force in the electronics world. Perhaps we'll get something else out of this. Maybe it won't be 100% successful, but maybe we develop new ways to help people with developmental disabilities or people with fibromyalgia that have, you know, that live in constant chronic pain. Maybe we can find ways to... Even Crohn's disease, I mean, that's another autoimmune sort of a thing. Maybe we can find other ways to either help manage the pain or actually, if this is successful, imagine the things that we could actually treat with this system.
Rheumatoid arthritis, my wife suffers from that, you know, I mean.
Yep. There's a lot of different things that this could really help with, and this would be a massive step forward in medical technology.
It still sounds like an origin story for a superhero, though. Like
it really does. It really does.
So as something goes wrong, and they get some weird power, and they become a superhero or a supervillain, one of the two.
There was an episode of I wish I could remember what it was now. If it was the new Twilight Zone or one of their ilk. But John Boy, the actor that played John Boy, was in an episode of this show, and he was a scientist who was looking to treat, actually come up with ways to heal, just kind of like this. And what ended up happening is he created these nanobots, injected them into himself, had the unfortunate side effect of not only did it repair the damage, but it would make modifications to the body to assure that that damage would not happen again.
Wow.
So he ended up getting like scales and other things that kind of help protect his body more, so that the damage that he took, you know, a paper cut or whatever, it just escalated.
Are we sure that there is not already a comic book character that has this? This is how they got to be what they got to be? It sounds like it's had to have happened already.
Wolverine had regenerative capabilities, but once he got the skeleton, it enhanced them.
And that was natural abilities too. He was born with that, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he was a mutant, and he was born around the time of the Civil War. So once he got the adamantium put into his skeleton, it actually heightened his regenerative capabilities. But I'm trying to think of, Deadpool, he was a part of the Weapon X project, and he ended up getting massive regenerative capabilities as well. So, I mean, it's something that has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if this were actually like real life, something that could be done. That would be fantastic. I'm sorry, it has the capability of being really fantastic or creating a whole group of crazed regenerative super soldiers that we can't control. So
yeah.
You make the call.
Yeah. All right. That darn DARPA.
Could be a web series. That darn DARPA.
Yeah, it's got a good ring to it, doesn't it?
Sounds kind of like
that. Darn
that
Dave.
Darn Dave. Hmm.
All right. So is that it for this story? You got anything more?
No, that's it. There are a few more bits to this story, so I encourage people to check the show notes and click into it. And also, there was something that we were talking about pre-show, and this came out the same day. A group of scientists have actually taken stem cells, adult stem cells, and found the reset switch on them, so that they're actually now, with this reset switch clicked, as it were, they're essentially like prenatal cells. They are the kind of cells that you would be able to harvest from an embryo. And if they're able to do that, there's also another avenue of regenerative treatments that could be done. They've only done the first step, which is actually taking these cells and reset them. Now, actually trying to come up with treatments with these reset cells could do a lot in also helping with autoimmune diseases and things along this same nature. So I highly recommend people checking that out. It's really some interesting medical stuff on the horizon for us.
Yeah, there's going to be some big developments in the next couple of decades or so. I can see it. I'm foreseeing the future, and the future is bright, or dark, because we're turning into these things that cannot die, because we've got bodies telling us to never have that thing happen to you again. I don't know. All right. I've got two very similar stories in one. Minority Report and Matrix-like TV shows in the works. You guys ready for these?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
So Fox just picked up the Steven Spielberg Minority Report TV show. Seems like they're making TV series out of every late 90s, early 2000s shows, because we've got 12 Monkeys coming up on Sci-Fi here soon. The network purchased the series with a put pilot deal, meaning that it is most definitely happening, or Fox will have to pay out a whole lot of money. The series is envisioned as a sequel to the movie. It is set 10 years after the end of pre-crime in D.C. One of the three precogs struggles to lead a normal human life, but remains haunted by visions of the future. Then he meets a detective haunted by her past, who just may help him find a purpose to his gift. Godzilla writer Max Borenstein will executive produce with Amblin Television. So you got that. Steven Spielberg And then you got this one, Keanu Reeves and Roland Emmerich, the man famous for Stargate and Independence Day, right? I think.
And didn't he do the recent, I did something recently that just came out too, I thought.
Possible. Not sure. Well, he and the other guy, they're working on the ID4 part 2, whatever it's called. So they got that going on as well. Anyways, Keanu Reeves and Roland Emmerich, they are developing a new Matrix-like sci-fi TV series. Not a Matrix, a direct Matrix-related series, but Matrix-like. Dubbed New Angels, the series will be directed by Roland Emmerich and produced by Reeves, who of course starred in the Matrix trilogy. What's that? Who's that? Who's talking?
Sorry, that was my phone.
Okay.
I apologize.
It's all right. According to Deadline, the show itself is set in the future and will follow a young man who escapes the mundane reality of life by entering an exciting virtual reality world called New Angels. Once down the rabbit hole, he adopts a new identity, becoming the man he always was destined to be, and in the process unlocks the keys to a mystery that has real-world consequences for him and his family. And the plan is to apparently shop around New Angels to networks, cable, and on-demand services and see if they can get it picked up somewhere. So there you have it. Two interesting-sounding TV shows based on movies that came out in the last 20 years. Which of these are you guys more excited to see? The Matrix one or the Minority Report one?
Actually, I've never seen the Minority Report, so...
Really?
I like the Minority Report. But
I never got around to seeing it.
I like the Matrix a whole lot better, but they're both really cool concepts.
I think I'd like to see the Minority Report-esque one. Yeah, I think something different than the Matrix. So,
I think
for me anyway.
There's a lot of hemming and hawing. I just realized that from everyone. But I'm excited to see them both, but I'm more excited about Minority Report because I'm less worried that they're going to destroy it. I'm less worried about them destroying it because I like the Matrix more.
Okay, well...
Makes sense.
It's got it does make sense, but also don't forget this is not a direct it's not related directly to Matrix, to the Matrix.
No, but they're taking the concepts essentially.
Yeah.
The concept of the Matrix was always really cool to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would go with the Minority Report, but Almost Human really was kind of like without the precognitive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see a show that was futuristic, that looked good. Unfortunately, Fox likes to shoot everything in the ass, so that didn't pan out. So as much as I want to see this Minority Report show, Fox 2 is going to shoot it in the ass. even though it's – this is the Amblin one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, even with Steven Spielberg kind of backing this a little bit, I think Fox is going to shoot this in the ass too.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg was tied into Revolution, and that show got canceled. So just because you have Steven Spielberg aboard doesn't mean that your show is an instant success or it's guaranteed to be continued to air.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. That's the third story of the episode. So all we have left is Anessa. And Anessa, this sounds interesting. What do you got?
Oh, I was just thinking about TV shows and how they cancel them early, even though they're really good shows. And it's not just Fox, because I mean, A&D did the same thing with Longmire, and that made me sad.
But you know what? There's other, like, it seemed, I don't know. Because there's shows like Mad Men that last forever. And I guess that's not really a genre show, though, right?
Well, I never really watched Mad Men, so I can't really say. But the thing with Longmire was it was one of A&E's highest rated shows. And they just pulled the plug on it because they didn't want to spend money on stuff that other studios created.
That's too bad.
Even though that was like their second highest rated show, like ever, maybe?
Hmm.
It was a really good show. So networks are dumb, but
I think it.
Fingers crossed.
I think that. Yeah, I think the second one, the one that's Matrix-like, I think if they get a network like, I don't know, AMC or what's a similar network.
I can see AMC doing something like that.
Yeah. Or even or
making it work.
Or even like
or FX, perhaps.
Yeah, or one of the on-demand services like Netflix or Amazon, because they're starting to develop original programming. So maybe they get on board with one of those networks, and I think they've got a better chance of succeeding than mainstream network TV.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Here's hoping. Oh yeah. So my story is a follow-up to a story that I did a while ago about a science fiction museum, or a museum of science fiction that's supposed to be built in Washington, in or near Washington, D.C. And they are actually, the people involved with the Museum of Science Fiction are holding a contest looking for entries, for people to submit entries of designs for this museum. So if any of our listeners happen to have a personal vision of the future, and so, you know, they might have a chance to give it a three-dimensional form. And just to recap the whole museum thing, last November, a nonprofit group called the Museum of Science Fiction announced plans to open a facility that of that name in or near Washington by 2017. One step towards that goal was that would give the project, which lists its address as Washington, D.C., USA, Earth, Sol, Milky Way, an actual presence. It would also provide a place to test ideas for visitor experience and to hold fundraising events. Now the group has announced a competition open to students, architects, industrial designers, and exhibit designers to design the preview museum. The specs: the facility should be 3,000 to 4,000 square feet and capable of housing at least 7 interactive exhibits at a time. The gallery should also be able to accommodate special programs with seating for 150 people. And early announcements from the group emphasize the museum's commitment to boosting STEM, so science, technology, engineering, mathematics, education, and reporting promises of loans, including models of the Enterprise E and Deep Space Nine vehicles used in Star Trek films, as well as hundreds of interviews with fabled sci-fi authors such as Ray Bradbury and Arthur C. Clarke. Yes, Dave.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. I was inspired suddenly. You know how we had that story about Alberta? Vulcan, Alberta? They wanted to build the actual Enterprise?
It was totally a hoax.
Yeah, it was totally a hoax, but it inspired me to think that maybe these guys, in their design of their building, should incorporate all these different like vehicles from science fiction. You know, part of the building could be the Enterprise. Another part could be the Death Star or the ship from 2001 Space Odyssey. You know, combine all these different science fiction elements. It would make a really weird looking building, but I think it might work if it's done right.
Maybe not the exterior, but the interior. I think they would have a better job of having it look or resemble the interior of these ships, or even just having a door that opens and closes like you'd see going on deck in Star Trek or something. The registration deadline is October 31st. Submission deadline is November 30th. And the winner will be notified by December 15th. So the prize for the winner is only $1,000, but it comes with a chance to see a personal vision turned into reality, which I think is pretty awesome. So if anyone is listening and they're interested, they can go to museumofsciencefiction.org.
I remember talking about this on a previous episode. Was it this show? Or was it one of the other Galactic Netcasts?
I don't remember which show it was. I think it was this one. But I remember talking about this specific thing, and I came across this article last night, and I'm like, I want to talk about this, because now they're holding a contest. There's actually something going on with this museum, so...
Another thing,
at least to try.
You know, Washington D.C. is really the place to go for museums, isn't it? You got so many different museums and places to see.
We've got a lot of museums, and I plan on visiting some of them someday. And I've been told to not stay in D.C. proper, but to take the train in.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. So. All right. All right, that's it for our stories this week. Let's move on to the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. I need to make some kind of like music intro for this. I'll get around to it one of these days.
More techno.
And then we have a dance party every time.
Light switch rave. I'll get my glow stick. It'll be cool.
I'll take my shirt off.
All right, so we didn't do this last week. Matt was not here. We didn't want Matt to get behind any more than he was already, or he is already. The current scores are, well, he's only behind 1 point. Brad, Anessa, and our guests have 2 points each, and Matt has 1 point each. So how this works is every week we test our panelists and guests on their knowledge of sci-fi with the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. There will be 5 questions in total. If you answer say your name, that will be your cue to answer. The first person that says their name will get first answer. If you get it wrong, our guest geek will have the first shot at stealing it, but we don't have a guest this week, so the next person can steal it. Whoever was second, I guess, will get to steal if they know the answer. You guys ready?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Question number one. Now remember, if you know the answer, call out your name and you'll get to answer, okay?
Okie doke.
Question number one. Which Planet of the Apes film sequel came first? Which Planet of the Apes sequel came first? All right, and these are the old school sequels. These are from the 1970s, all right? Was it Conquest of the Planet of the Apes or Escape from the Planet of the Apes?
Brad. Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Let's see if the judges will give that to you. Yeah, congratulations. Congratulations. I said that weird.
Combinations, Elizabeth.
Oh.
All right. Question number two. Who wrote the famous book trilogy about terraforming Mars? Oh, the titles are Red Mars, Green Mars, Blue Mars. There should be some kind of time limit.
Well, I'm pretty sure the silence...
means that nobody knows.
I got nothing.
My guess would have been Jesus, but I don't think he did that. I don't think he was really big in Mars.
That would be... Sorry, oh, Jesus.
You didn't have to take such a huge crap on my face for a wrong answer.
And Anessa and Brad, you don't want to take a shot at this? Can I give you guys a hint?
Sure.
Okay.
Their first name is Kim.
Kim Jong-il?
Kim Jong-un. I've never read these books.
Do I get an A for these wrong answers? Because if I do, I should just stop.
No. Uh-uh.
Well, if you do, then I got one.
You don't get negative points with the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. Brad, you want to take a shot now that you have a clue?
Their name began with Kim?
Kim, and it's three names.
I've never heard of these books till today.
Kim
so.
And...
Kimberly Ann Johnson!
Oh. No, you guys are all wrong. The answer is Kim Stanley Robinson. Kim Stanley Robinson.
That was my next guess.
Right. Sure. All right. Hang on 1 second. I got to put the thing next to Brad. Hang on. All right. Brad got that one right. All right. Moving on, and I'm sure that somebody will get this because we already talked about it already previously before we talked about it. What were the people called that predicted the future crimes in the film The Minority Report? Say your name if you know it.
My guess is no one knows it because no one's saying their name.
I said it in the story. All you got to do is look on the dock.
I know, but that's cheating.
I am not above cheating.
then go at it, because I want to. If I answer, it's because I know
Matt.
Matt.
Precogs.
Yes, congratulations, it's Matt.
Dude, I read it like 4 times. I'm like, I think that's it.
So, with that answer, you tie Anessa and the guest with 2 points. But Brad still leads with 3. It's not cheating if it's on the dock, because you already got the dock open. So, that's all right.
That's true.
Okay, here we go. Question 4. What actor played the third Doctor on Doctor Who?
Well, that's just not fair. You
just
know
I'm
not going to know
that.
Okay.
Don't worry. I got my dog, guys.
I think Brad said his name first.
He did.
John Pertwee.
John Pertwee is correct. Yeah. Brad taking a commanding lead. 4 points. All right.
Steinworld.
We got to capture that, and I'll have that on the soundboard.
Steinworld.
All right. Final, 5th and final question.
Oh, Kim is a guy. I was looking up this Kim Stanley.
Kim Stanley.
Gee, I wonder.
You know what? Don't even, because... You know people with male first names, and then you meet them and you're like, oh, that's a girl.
I work with a guy named Lauren. Thought it was a woman until I met him.
Yeah, when I worked at UNT, we had a TA named Charles, and it was a she.
Weird.
Huh. So, just saying.
That is really weird. Okay. I guess whatever, you know. Okay, 5th and final question.
Like
5th and final question.
Stanley could be a second surname, just saying.
Listen up.
Okay, 5th and final question. Got it.
What is futile against the Borg?
Anessa.
Anessa.
Resistance.
Resistance is futile. Yes. Yay.
I got one.
I knew it, too.
You're too busy having your dog lick your face.
His breath smells like dog food.
Your dog's there?
Aww.
What's that?
Your dog was there?
He was. He just ran away.
Oh, okay. I wasn't looking.
Yeah, it was...
All right.
We were having a moment.
All right.
Yeah, you were. All over your face.
I'm glad...
You're just jealous that you couldn't do it.
I'm glad that I wasn't watching.
Maybe.
But he wasn't... It wasn't, like, going to town the entire time, Dave. You make it sound creepy.
Steinworld!
You know, I was just thinking about this... Points are going to get very complicated very quickly here. So Brad has 4 points. Anessa, you have 3 points. And Matt, you are tied with the guest, 2 points. So congratulations. I believe Brad actually won or got the most questions right this week. So congratulations to Brad. You won this week.
I just have a lot of crap shoehorned into my melon.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Don't forget you can subscribe to the show. Just search for us on Twitter. Search for us on iTunes and Stitcher. Find us there or go to galacticnetcasts.com. Also, check out our YouTube page. If listening to the show is not good enough, you can watch the show at youtube.com/galacticnetcasts. Also, our feedback, 805-328-3966, voicemail or email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. All right, that's going to do it. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
I'm the worst at wrapping up shows because I can do the alien invasion fine because we always do a final thought, right? I don't really have a thing that, you know, punctuates the end of the show besides playing the gavel.
That works.
Okay.
You just be like, all right, guys, good night.
Well,
and then I'd be like, bye, Dad.
Yeah. Speaking of Brad's final thought for alien invasion, 1 week from tomorrow. I will be attending the Bill and Ted's Halloween Adventure, I believe it's called.
Shut up.
Where's that?
Where's that?
Universal Studios in Orlando.
Oh,
oh, cool.
That's right. I forgot you were going out to the West Coast. You're going to go see Gary Yap?
Other direction.
Oh.
Orlando.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right.
I'm going to be that direction at some point between now and March for work. So Gary has family in Phoenix, which is where I will be. So him and I were talking about getting together while I'm out there.
Oh, cool.
Sweet.
I don't know why I was thinking Orlando was on the West Coast. What's wrong with me? Huh.
At first, I thought you just said I was doing Universal Studios because there is one in California.
Yeah, that's
And maybe that's what you were thinking of, Dave.
Yeah, I think
didn't
I was.
You hear Orlando, you just heard Universal Studios, and you're like, California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yep.
That'll be my excuse. Okay.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. I call this meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club adjourned. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Hey, bye.
Bye, Dad.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.